He was an immigrant and an outsider who lived within the borders of Israel. He spoke with an accent. He worshipped another god, a false god. As a foreigner, he was viewed suspiciously. He was a Samaritan. Peter Brown, the deputy leader of New Zealand First, articulated anti-Samaritan sentiment last week when he warned of the real danger we will be inundated with people who have no intention of integrating into our society. They will form many societies that will lead to division, friction, and resentment. This is the politics of suspicion and fear. It persists through every age and nation like a virus that won't go away. Ironically, it foments the division, friction, and resentment Brown and his ilk allegedly want to avoid. Fear is the motivation that justifies the powerful pushing the racially and often economically less powerful into prescribed roles and functions. Prejudice and racism are then the gates that keep them there. Brown, of course, wasn't talking about Samaritans per se, but those he lumped together as Asian. But Brown could have been an American politician talking about Hispanics, or a British politician talking about Muslims, or he could have been a leader of a synagogue in first century Palestine. There was also in our biblical story an insider. Unlike the Samaritan outsider, he was a faithful Jew who prayed daily to the true God. Like his contemporaries, he listened as people bemoaned the influx of immigrants into Jerusalem, heretics like Samaritans, and by his silence assented to the moaning. We don't know too much about this insider until the boundaries of his world were violently shattered. He was beaten up on the Jericho Road and left in pain, semi-conscious, lying in a ditch. He didn't know who did or who didn't help him until much later. He just groaned and ached. When the Samaritan saw the beaten man, he had no way of checking on his credentials. He didn't know whether this was one of those bigoted racists who petitioned and demanded that foreigners go home. He didn't know whether this was one of those religious purists who would have considered himself contaminated in the presence of a Samaritan. He didn't know whether the beaten man was nice or nasty, generous or greedy, loved or hated. He didn't know, and he didn't really care. Right race or wrong race, right face or wrong face, true God or false God, it didn't matter. This Samaritan's urge to help overruled any misgivings. Kindness was stronger than suspicion. One of the critical issues most nations and cosmopolitan cities face is finding the balance between, on the one hand, cultural identity, and on the other, the need for wider social cohesion between multiple cultures. Immigrant groups are usually tolerated to the extent that they blend in, although it's always hard to blend when you look and sound different, or when the racial and cultural powers keeps you at the periphery of social and economic power. Blending has usually meant learning and adopting the language and perceived cultural norms of the majority, and relegating your own native culture and language to the status of a hobby. Such blending has been justified in order to maintain the social cohesion that the power holders deem acceptable. all people need to some degree to feel a sense of cultural identity and belonging. Minority cultures need places where they are nurtured and where they exercise autonomy over their affairs. These are needed not least because culture and spirituality and mental health are very intertwined. To be a strong and vibrant nation or city, there needs to be strong and vibrant individuals, secure in their cultural inheritance. Only when there is that security can there be the openness and fearlessness to embrace that which is foreign and strange and to discover what unites people across cultures. Rather than the powerful imposing social cohesion will emerge when cultures, races, and faiths give each other the respect and resources they need. When unity is imposed, it quickly becomes uniformity. When diversity is honored, the willingness to come together is enhanced. These issues of unity and diversity, identity and cohesion, are not new. As the story of the Good Samaritan indicates, they were prevalent in Jesus' Palestine and throughout the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, like our globalized world today, attracted to its metropolitan centers a great and wide variety of cultures, languages, and religions. Religiously, the Romans valued tolerance as a practical measure to aid the cohesion of the empire. Paganism, namely the worship of Roman gods and goddesses, by and large tolerated Judaism and Christianity as long as they demonstrated religious tolerance and acknowledged the ruling class system. In the 300s, however, the Emperor Constantine saw the benefits of switching from using paganism as a cohesive force to using Christianity. Christianity was sharpened up as an instrument of uniformity. Unfortunately for the empire, it didn't work. The Great Council of Nicaea and its successors were ultimately political failures. In the name of trying to get all people to believe the same, they label one set of beliefs right or orthodox and another wrong or heretical. The former were rewarded, the latter were punished. The wisdom of orthodoxy didn't hold the empire together. Those Goths who sacked Rome in 410 were so-called Christian heretics who traced their theology back through Arius. For any society, social cohesion is important. But using a religion for that purpose, as some would want to do with the Christian nation ideal, simply doesn't work. It produces insiders and outsiders. And the only way an outsider can become an insider is by shedding their cultural identity, language, and religion. Within Christianity itself, the fixation upon right beliefs has done a huge disservice to our integrity and impact upon the world. We've become known for justifying wars, oppressing free thinkers, and being intolerant of other faiths. If only we'd followed the way of that Good Samaritan, who didn't preach to the roadside victim, nor to the innkeeper, who didn't try to convert or control anyone, who didn't try to profit from his intervention. If only we had followed the Samaritan, who was simply kind and generous. At its heart, the parable of the Good Samaritan underlines that action is what speaks most powerfully. It's not what we believe, but how we act that counts. It's not my true God versus your false God, but our acts of kindness that manifest our spirituality. It's not my culture that's in the ascendancy that is important, but the hospitality and compassion that any culture is capable of extending. It's not about power but service. It's not about privilege but people. It's not about beliefs but acts of kindness. Suspicion and fear are viruses that spread during times of social unrest and change. It's all too easy to blame the immigrant, the one who looks and talks differently. It's all too easy to say the immigrant must change and be like us, or get out and leave our prejudices intact. Jesus' response to this virus was to tell a story about how a Jew was beaten up, and fellow Jews, the pious and powerful, walked on by. Then an immigrant, a man with a different God, a heretic, stopped and helped him. For Jesus, it wasn't your race, your culture, or your God that was important. It was whether you had the courage to be kind when your society was cowering in fear.